the cross. In 1 Peter 3 and 18, the Apostle Peter wrote, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God." Those words, "bring us to God," remind us that one purpose the Savior had in giving his life was to reconcile man to God. The word reconciliation is often used in connection with a married couple who have become estranged. Thousands of years of experience have taught us all that the ancient axiom, "there are two sides to every story," is a wise guideline for any counselor attempting to bring an alienated couple back together. But when it comes to our being reconciled to God, all the enmity is on our part. God's heart has never changed. His love for mankind and his interest in blessing men and women have never been altered. By creating mankind in the image of God, he imparted to us a capacity that no other segment of his creation has, the capacity to love him and enjoy communion with him. When sin entered our world, it imperiled this lofty and noble purpose by twisting mankind into a selfish, rebellious creature. The ability to represent God, to understand something of his glorious being, and to respond to his loving heart were all affected by our turning to sin. The Bible explains that our understanding was darkened. We were alienated from the life of God, and our hearts became deceitful. No longer a suitable representation of God, we are described as being ungodly and estranged from God by wicked works. How could such creatures be redeemed, recovered, rescued, and reconciled? The answer to that is the story of the ages. It is found at a place called Calvary on an April day in the year 33, when, as the Bible says, Christ died for the ungodly. There, the price for our reconciliation was paid by God himself. He intervened to provide salvation for the whole race by sending his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the whole world. Verse 19 of 2 Corinthians 5 explains that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. God is not only a loving God, but he is righteous and just. His justice required that those who were guilty should be punished. His love found a way to punish our sins without having to punish us, but at what a cost to himself. Because of the effects of sin on our lives, there were no other means of salvation possible other than his sending his own Son to face the penalty of our sins. The remarkable truth of the gospel is that the Lord Jesus was willing to give his life so that sinful humans could be saved. Paul stated in Romans 5, "When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son." He adds in another letter, "God hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Surpassing the pains of crucifixion, excruciating as they were, eclipsing the indignity, dishonor, and disgrace of that heinous form of public execution, was the agony the Lord Jesus endured when the wrath of God against our sin fell on him. He suffered anguish beyond our comprehension, and what he, the just one, endured was on behalf of the unjust, that he might bring us to God. The once proud and hateful Pharisee, Saul of Tarsus, who came to a life-changing understanding of that death, said, "The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me." Realizing this, Saul's enmity ended, his estrangement evaporated, his alienation was abolished before such magnificent grace and love. The Savior did not die in order to bring God and man together, as though there were a need for mutual concessions on the part of both parties. He died to bring us to God. The very words remind us that while it is generally the party that is in the wrong that sues for peace and offers reparation, in this case, not only is the enmity all one-sided, solely in the human heart, but the means of reconciliation has come from one party alone, the righteous God of heaven. Our gracious God is seeking to reconcile us to himself. His desire for you to be in a right relationship with him has been expressed in a glorious message that the Bible calls the gospel of the grace of God. The Apostle Paul described himself and those who preached along with him as ambassadors for Christ, and added, "As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." Those who respond to God's message repenting and trusting his Son for salvation, are no longer at odds with God. To them it can be said, as it was to the Christians at Colossae, "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." You have heard the gospel, this word of reconciliation. Will you respond today to this gracious invitation to be made right with God? As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God.